You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, third and final hour now upon us. It's been a busy and productive night, Political Cesspool, and yours truly back in the mainstream news. And I'm telling you, folks, and I said it before, if you are not in this business, you don't know how hard it is to break through and to get that sort of legitimacy and credibility. Even though it's always negative, we still get it, and we get it on a regular basis, and that's what separates us from the pretenders. And you know, another good point was brought to me in the commercial break. You know, we were talking in the first hour with Richard Spencer and, you know, how because Jason Richwine once wrote a single article for Richard Spencer, and Richard Spencer works with me, who is bald, and therefore Jason Richwine is a skinhead. You know, this is their logic, you know, 6 degrees of separation. Well, CNN must be then also a skinhead outlet. It's a skinhead operation, because they have had me on a number of times as a featured guest on their television programming, and always treated me kindly and fairly, and introduced me as a conservative talk radio host. So CNN, certainly a skinhead operation, Keith. Little did you know.
I'm sure that Paula Zahn was kicked out of her synagogue after she was polite to you. What this shows you is, if we were the babbling numbskulls that people like Rachel Maddow trying to pretend that we are, they would simply ignore us. We've got this shoestring operation here, operating, you know, hand to mouth, month to month. But we apparently are the thing that everything tracks back to. You know, they look to us. We're the source of everything they're opposed to. And that makes us very proud, you know, to be that. That shows that we really are onto something here, and we really know what we're doing. Let me get back to what we were talking about before the last break, about Jewish power and influence. Jewish power and influence, what is really necessary to understand is that they are Jewish power and influence plus. They're the most liberal group plus. You know, nobody's more liberal than Rachel Maddow, but Rachel Maddow, one, isn't that rich, two, isn't that powerful, doesn't have the connections in the media that Jewish power and influence does, and furthermore, Jewish involvement is the sole reason why liberalism has triumphed, not only in America, but throughout the Western world over the past 60 or some odd so years. Think about that. You know, we have had a couple of venerable so-called civil rights leaders here in Memphis pass to their reward in the past few weeks. And they continue to flail this dead horse that somehow black people did it all themselves. Just like that song, Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves. Well, black people did it all for themselves. The sisters of feminism did it all for themselves. Homosexuals did it all for themselves. Baloney. Jewish power and influence was the secret ingredient that turned those losing propositions into winners. If it were not for Jewish media control, no one would have ever heard of Martin Luther King. No one would have ever heard about the Selma to Montgomery march. All of this stuff was important because of the secret ingredient of Jewish power and influence. That's the yeast that made the dough rise. That's why feminism, homosexual rights, illegal alien rights, criminal rights, the sexual revolution, the drug culture, environmentalism, global warming, the civil rights movement, all of these things are powers to be contended with that have won the culture war in America and in Western civilization generally. The reason, the secret ingredient that makes it all happen, the yeast that makes the dough rise, is Jewish power and influence. That's why we've got to talk about it, James.
Well, Keith, that's very anti-Semitic for you to say that Jews are smart and well-organized and get the job done. Now, I only wish they were on our side, or they're on our side, would be their biggest fan. Well, they've got attributes. They've got attributes. You know, if they were on our side, it'd be a great blessing. But, you know, we will do what we've got with the talents God gave us and let the chips fall where they may, because righteousness is on our side, I do believe. We see things clearly. Yes, we do. Well, another recurring theme tonight, Keith, has been the fact that the mainstream media is beginning to start to pick up and talk about our issues. Bill O'Reilly saying race is the predominant factor in gun violence in Chicago. Rush Limbaugh saying we've got to have honest discussions about race and immigration. So on and so forth. And there's been a litany of others just in recent days, that are beginning to sound a lot like the political cesspool here in spurts. One, again, that can't be discounted is Colin Flaherty and WorldNet Daily. We talked about that earlier. Sam Bushman had interviewed Colin. WorldNet Daily really taking a lead on this thing, and Colin just has a brand new article, Black Violence Surges in Washington, D.C., and I'm looking at it right now. My computer's running a little bit slow here in the studio, but it's a good one at WND.com. And all we say is, of course, that, you know, there are differences in culture, between the races, in belief systems, in talent, IQ. That's not to say that one group is better than the other, but that they are different, and different people should usually would be in a better situation if they dwelled apart to eliminate discord and competition and this, that, and the other. Well, of course, liberals believe that someone from, say, Papua New Guinea would make just as good of an American citizen as someone from Sweden or a Dane. We're all interchangeable parts. Race doesn't exist. Race doesn't exist. And someone from Papua New Guinea, sure, they'd be just as good of a candidate for citizenship here in this country as someone from England. Well, what's going on? They would be better even because they would help diversify us even further, Keith. Well, what's going on in Papua New Guinea? Now, just remember, all cultures are equal, and if we brought these people to this country, they would be just as much as Americans as me and Keith. The moment they step foot on our soil, well, here's what's going on in Papua New Guinea this week. Police were present during the killings, but were outnumbered by an angry mob and can do nothing to prevent the grisly deaths. What's going on there is there's a sort of a civil war between the cannibals and the sorcerers in Papua New Guinea. The sorcerers are really getting it put to them. We were helpless. We could do nothing, police inspector told the paper, saying his officers were threatened when they tried to come and negotiate the release of the women sorcerers. They were murdered barbarically and senselessly, the story reads. They were rounded up and taken to the village after they were suspected of practicing sorcery. The story continues that these killings continue just days after another report that six women accused of sorcery were tortured with hot irons. There have also been several cases of witchcraft and cannibalism in Papua New Guinea, with a man reportedly found eating his screaming newborn son. Sorcery, Keith, witchcraft, cannibalism, men eating their infants as they come out of the womb. This is what's going on in Papua New Guinea, but by God, they would make good immigrants here because we are all one human family.
Well, you must remember, James, that diversity is our greatest strength. And think of the diversity that would be added to America if we had cannibals and sorcerers here as well. You know, we're very deficient and we're very deprived because we don't have them, apparently. Now, you know, I'm glad that we've gotten off the Jewish men to race again. You know, race is real. Race realists is what we are. This is all that we can say. Now, you know, look, why is it whenever they compile these lists of the most violent cities, the most crime-ridden cities, the whatever, they're always the blackest cities in America? Let me have you ponder that over this break and...
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Keith Alexander was wound up like a Category F5 hurricane there before that last commercial break, and he just blew right on into the sponsors. But we're going to get right back to him. Keith, we were talking about what's going on in Papua New Guinea, where in the year 2013, cannibalism, witchcraft, and sorcery are alive and well. Police walked in on a man recently eating, as in a meal, his newborn son. And you look at the story and you say, you know what, I can't think of any European nations where people do this kind of stuff. Maybe there's something to that.
Yeah, why don't we ever get stories like this coming out of Scandinavia, out of Sweden or Norway or Finland or Denmark? Obviously, race has something to do with this. Why, for example, is Memphis, insignificant little Memphis, Tennessee? We're 58 in terms of standard metropolitan statistical areas in America. We're I think number 20th in terms of largest city, but that's because our city and our SMSA, as they call it, is just about the same. We have more square miles within the city limits of Memphis than they have in New York City. Why is that? It's because Memphis has a carte blanche law that allows them to annex areas against their will. And as a result, people that want to enjoy a civilized lifestyle keep moving further and further away from the city of Memphis, trying to get out beyond the taxing power of the people that run Memphis. And the people that run Memphis are black. Let's just call things by their proper names. Why is it whenever they're compiling these lists of the most violent city, the most crime-ridden city, the poorest city, the city with the lowest academic achievements, all of these lists are always topped by cities and areas that have disproportionately large black populations or Hispanic populations? Why is that? Is this just some cosmic coincidence? Why is this happening all the time? Why, for example, little old Memphis, number 58, has not one, not two, but three of the most violent neighborhoods in America within our city limits. Why does Detroit have the top three out of the 25 most violent neighborhoods in America? They're in the city of Detroit. Why can people like Rachel Maddow, Keith Olbermann, and all of these mainstream people continue to stick their head in the sand like an ostrich? Meanwhile, their posteriors waving around like the ostrich, making a tempting target. It's obvious these people are afraid of the truth. And as James and Richard said in the first hour, the reason they're afraid is because liberalism isn't just an ideological propensity or weakness that they have. It is actually their religion. And they react to people that challenge their religion with facts with even more vitriol and zeal than any member of a legitimate religion ever dealt with a heretic. You know, they would certainly burn James and me at the cross if they had the opportunity. With a pentagram. Yeah, that's what they do. We are heretics. We are beyond the pale. We are the people who have to be silenced. And they don't want to play fair. They are illiberal, not liberal. They are not liberal in the Lockean sense at all. They are totalitarians. And they have to resort to totalitarian means to keep the truth from seeping in. They're in a constant state of denial. Like we say, denial is not just a river in Africa. This is what happens when you try to hide from the truth. The truth keeps coming. You know, it's like the Roman poet Horace said, you can drive nature out with a pitchfork, but she always hastens back. These arguments keep coming back. There's a reason why all of these negative categories tend to be black areas in America or throughout the world. The reason has something to do with race. If you refuse to deal with race, you'll never understand what's going on, and you can never make appropriate planning to avoid all of these negative consequences, James. It's as simple as that.
Well, Keith, now I want to get into the biggest story of the week on our website, just short of the Rachel Maddow incident. And this was going to be our lead story tonight until it was preempted by the breaking news of the, we've talked about it. Rich one. White families wearing yokes and chains while apologizing for slavery. Folks, if you've ever felt the need to apologize for slavery, there is an organization out there called the Lifeline Expedition that will put you in chains and let you be humiliated, all in the name of healing. And we've got pictures of this father and his 13-year-old boy, and they're shackled, they're on their knees with their eyes closed, and they're wearing this wooden yoke, and they're apologizing for slavery because that 13-year-old boy had a lot to do with it. You know, he did it. He was smuggling them in. And I hear if you pay a little extra, you get the premium package, and it comes with an authentic whipping to just round out your treatment there for white folks who feel a little extra guilty. Now, I made up the last part about the whooping, but the rest of it is true. And what kind of a man, and I use that term loosely here, what kind of a man would allow his son to be emasculated like this? What are they apologizing for? If anything, they should be accepting wreaths because it was it was whites that abolished slavery and ended the practice. Slavery still exists today in a number of non-white nations, and they're all non-white. You know, but people aren't shaking down those countries because there's no money there. The blacks who run these countries and the Arabs who run these countries that still practice slavery, they don't care, and they're not going to be intimidated by name calling. They're doing it because they want to, and they're not going to stop. Slavery still exists today in 2013. Furthermore, whites in America, and whites in Europe are the only people who have ever apologized for slavery. I mean, there's been no apology for the whites who were slaves. And when you go back, and we were talking about this at lunch this week, Keith, you go back to the colonial slave trade in the Americas, in North America. 5% of all the slaves that were brought to this hemisphere, to the Western Hemisphere, came to North America. 5%. And they were the luckiest 5%. Because, look at their standard of living now. They were introduced to Christian salvation. They were introduced to civilization. They get affirmative action, quotas, set-asides. 60%, though, 60 to 70%, according to one estimate, of the slaves brought to the Western Hemisphere went to Brazil. I don't see anybody shaking Brazil down, Keith. Brazil isn't castrating themselves over it. A quick word. Got a few seconds. I'm going to go to break and come back and really break down this story.
Yeah, that's exactly what needs to be said, James. No black people in the world are as lucky as black people whose ancestors were brought to North America. That's the way that people in Africa, black people in Africa, see it. They wish it had been their ancestors that had been captured and put on slave ships headed for America. As we've said before, any American needs to look back at their ancestral history and realize that the most fortunate moment in their ancestral history is when one of their ancestors was put on a conveyance headed for North America, whether it was a leaky slave ship or the Concorde airplane. And we'll leave it with that. We'll get right back to more unpacking of this concept after these words from our sponsor.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, so we're talking about this outfit called the Lifeline Expedition, which allows white people to wear yokes and chains and march around former slave ports like Providence and Boston and other ports of call. And they walk around the city center looking just silly as hell. And they do this to atone for the sins that they didn't commit, that their ancestors most likely didn't commit. 5% of the slaves were brought here. Look, every time we talk about this issue, and we have to talk about it because people keep apologizing for it, and it's the most ridiculous thing ever. You didn't do it. What are you apologizing for? We're not defending slavery here. We wouldn't have wanted to have been slaves. We don't want anyone else to have been a slave. I think we can safely say we wish that no slaves have ever been brought here to America. And that's the honest to God's truth. But when you look at it, it was the way of the world back then. Everybody did it. Whites were enslaved. Blacks had white slaves. Whites had black slaves. I mean, that's, of course, what you hear about. That goes without saying. But it was just, you know, there are still slave-holding nations today, so on and so forth. But the only people that ever are forced to apologize for it are white people, guilty white liberals. And you can't apologize enough to receive atonement. You can't give them enough money to absolve yourselves. And yet you still, whites still go through these body contorting motions to try and, I mean, what are they doing? And the people that are pictured in our article, this son and father, live in an all-white island off the coast of Washington State. The demographics are 95% white, and yet here they are coming over. Oh, Keith, help me.
Look, James, you got to understand that this is one sin for which there can be no absolution, no atonement, and the reason is it pays too well. If you had a debit card that paid off the way that guilty white liberals pay off to the race hustlers who keep trying to raise, you know, the flag of slavery and the fact of slavery as being the, you know, the gift that keeps on giving, well, you know, why would you give up that debit card? I wouldn't, I guess. But, you know, it's totally dishonest to do this. Like you said, every group in the world, every person in the world has an ancestor that was a slave at some point or another in history. White people in particular were slaves. That's why the word slave is derived from the word Slav, which is a word used to describe people that live in southeastern Europe. The Ottoman Empire, Muslims, people darker than us, enslaved all the people, all the white people of southeastern Europe, what they call the Balkans. In fact, you know, that's why Alexander the Great doesn't look like Zorba the Greek. Alexander the Great did not have that intermixture with Arabs and Turks that present-day Greeks and Macedonians and Serbians and whatnot have, because they were dominated for five centuries by a non-white group of people. Now, every, you know, for example, the Barbary pirates enslaved white Europeans for a much longer period than white Europeans enslaved blacks.
The Barbary pirates' ancestors aren't apologetic.
Yeah, but the Barbary pirates' ancestors aren't apologizing, and we're not trying to seek reparations from them. You know, what the Barbary pirates did was they went to places on the Mediterranean and even went all the way up to Denmark, would kidnap entire villages of people. They would kill the old people. They would get the young women and turn them into sex slaves. They would get the healthy young men and turn them into galley slaves. The blacks that went in the West African slave trade to the Western Hemisphere were much luckier than the poor blacks that were captured in the Eastern African slave trade and went to Arab countries. The men had a total and complete castration, which included the penis as well. About two-thirds of those people died from loss of blood, and they were worked mercilessly in salt mines and other operations like that, so they had an average lifespan of about 5 years. That's why the Arabs aren't troubled with the descendants of these slaves asking them, I guess, for reparations, because nobody reproduced or survived to tell the tale and to try to get reparations from that group. Now, we do have slavers in America today, though. Guess who they are? They're non-whites. They're black and Hispanic pimps. We have a very vivid example that we can draw from today's headlines. The Castro brothers in Cleveland. They are modern-day slavers. They kept these three girls enslaved under the cruelest conditions for over a decade. Now, why do you think the feminists aren't jumping on this like a duck on a June bug and trying to say this just shows male domination of women and proves all of our points? They're not doing it because the people who are the guilty parties aren't white males. If they looked like James Edwards with his skinhead or like the guys on Duck Dynasty, you'd be hearing no end of it. We would be the perfect example. But unfortunately, white Southern Gentiles just don't misbehave to the extent that Hispanics and blacks do. And that's why the Castro brothers incident isn't getting play among the Rachel Maddows of the world.
And Keith, to be sure and to be fair, there are white pimps and there are white creeps who hold people hostage and things. But your point is well taken, and it's a good point. But getting back to this, and I really appreciated your commentary on the white enslavement and the other enslavement of Africans in the other parts of the world, not the Western Hemisphere. But getting back to this apology, this castration, wearing yokes and chains, here it is. The sight of a 13-year-old boy with a yoke over his head and his hands tied in chains was perhaps the most controversial image in Thursday's slavery reconciliation march through the streets of Newport. Jacob Lanau of Camano Island, Washington, said he decided on his own to wear the yoke and chains after seeing a painting of African slave children wearing them in the 19th century. Lanau and his large family, including his parents, Sherry and Michael Lanau, and their four biological children and five adopted children, are part of the Lifeline expedition that is visiting prominent American slave trading ports from the colonial era this month. They marched in Marblehead, Salem, and Boston in Massachusetts earlier this week, and in Providence on Wednesday. We recognize this is an unusual form of apology. Our hope and prayer is that this form of apology will speak in ways that words cannot. Again, what are they apologizing for? What did they do personally? How many slaves did this family own in their lifetimes or in their extended lifetime, in their ancestral line? The group submitted a letter to the Newport City Council asking the council to vote on a letter of apology for the city's involvement in the slave trade. City councils in Liverpool and Bristol in England approved such letters already. The group then left Newport for Virginia, where they will march in Richmond, Jamestown, and Williamsburg, and then on to South Carolina, where they will march in Charleston. Now, this story is actually a couple of years old, but I just got wind of it, and so since it was news to me, it was undoubtedly news to a lot of other people, so we refreshed it, and, it still happened, so we're talking about it, but the picture is worth a thousand words here, folks. If you just go to our website and look at the picture, it really brings into sharp focus everything we're trying to say. I mean, this kid here bowing, crying, head in stocks and arms, and it's got a T-shirt that says, "So sorry." It's an all-black T-shirt with a white lettering that reads, "So sorry."
Well, the best part of this is that they actually paid to endure this humiliation. Now, it reminds me of the old joke about the brothel where you could get everything from an ass whooping on up. This is apparently a scam, a game, where black people set up this Lifeline program and white people actually pay good money to be humiliated, abased, and made fools of. This is, you can't make this stuff up, as we say around here. There is no, what Michael Savage, who's Jewish, and I enjoy his show from time to time. Let me admit, that's a guilty pleasure. He was absolutely right about one thing, and that's that liberalism is a mental disorder. You would have to have a mental disorder to pay for the type of abuse that these people are apparently paying for. I just shake my head and I say, what in the world has happened to white people? Who has caused their internal gyroscope or their compass to go so haywire that they actually pay for the privilege of making themselves look foolish and furthermore making themselves targets for abuse? It's a mind-boggling spectacle. And like we said, we can't make this up. This is here. This is what 21st century America is doing. And if this doesn't alarm you, it, not just as a white person, but as a person that has a modicum of common sense and wants, you know, common sense to rule in day-to-day life, this is, you know, this is stranger than fiction.
We'll be back to wrap it all up right after this, folks. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the final segment of a... I tell you, I'm sweating again in here. It takes a special show for me to start sweating while I sit in a chair for 3 hours.
We got Peter Scoop Stanton on the line, Keith. But before we get to him and take this, you know, this is his, in fact his segment. Sam Bushman shared with us an incredible story. Not all slaves used that as the crutch by which they could never go out and accomplish anything. And Sam gave us one pretty famous example.
Yeah, where black people are still under the baleful influence of the slavery that ended more than 150 years ago in America. We have the example of Benjamin Franklin, who was a slave. He was enslaved by his father to his brother James, and he had to work free of charge for him. He worked in his brother's newspaper. He set type and print. He was not allowed to author articles, even though he wanted to, and he was beaten for suggesting that he wanted to do that. So what he did was he wrote things anonymously, slid them under the door, and his brother published them because they were so good. He published them under the names Poor Richard and Silence Do-Good. In fact, his brother got arrested by the British authorities for writing seditious material or publishing it in his newspaper, and Benjamin ran the newspaper for him, and he was thanked by his brother with another beating once his brother got out of jail. He actually left, ran away from his brother, so he was a fugitive slave. But I don't recall in all of the readings, I've read the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin, I don't read very much about that particular slavery interlude in his life. He apparently got over it, something that the black population in America apparently can't do. You know, it doesn't. It's the one all-purpose excuse for any shortcoming in your life.
Benjamin Franklin, the poor man's Harriet Tubman. Peter Scoop Stanton on the line. To wrap things up, Scoop it up for us here.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Enough of the formalities. Today, I went on the blog about the Rachel Maddow article, and my jaw just dropped. This last segment is going out to you, Ms. Maddow.
Keep it clean as we have to, Scoop. Rachel Maddow brings out the worst in us.
Okay, and Ms. Maddow had a thing about Richard Spencer video, and in the video was clips of Mr. Edwards. And so Ms. Maddow falsely accuses Mr. Edwards of being a skinhead.
Right.
Well, for your information, Ms. Maddow, Mr. Edwards is bald. He's been bald since puberty. But if you know anything about skinheads, just because a man has no hair doesn't make him a skinhead. And you complimented him on his suit. Well, it turns out it looks like you and Mr. Edwards share the same tailor. It doesn't. And if you look in the video clips, Mr. Edwards is not wearing Doc Martens with red or white shoelaces. He's not wearing red suspenders nor a black shirt. And, of course, if you had any journalistic ability, you and your staff would listen to the show and hear the comments made by the staff about how we interact on a daily basis with black people.
That's right.
But you can't, if you know. You want to, go ahead, James.
Well, I was just going to say, you can't avoid it in Memphis. I mean, Keith and I go to a restaurant. And, listen, anytime we go out to eat, you know, black, white, staff, we're all, you know, we tip, we're polite, we're cordial, we're gregarious. Yeah, we go to a restaurant right around the corner from my house because they have good food. It's owned by a black entrepreneur, and we get along fine with him. I mean, it is what it is. It's just the facts, ma'am. I mean, you know. But, go on, Scoop.
And Ms. Maddow, you want to talk about hairstyle. You live in the city of New York. Your job is in media. You work with one of the biggest media conglomerates in the world, known as the National Broadcasting Company. And you go on television night after night with that thing you call a hairstyle. It looks like a hat from a bad ripoff Star Wars movie.
Scoop, you were at the blog today. We got this picture of Rachel Maddow at home with her husband, whose name is Susan. A boy named Sue. So I mean, you know, just that picture alone is enough to just close the book on her credibility. But, you know, this is not the first time she's done this. She laid into us, I don't know, I guess it was a year and a half ago, something like that, because she had found, caught wind that we had done a segment during which we apparently counted the number of white players on a particular football team. And she said, oh, look at these racists. They're out there counting the white people. And, you know, that's funny because isn't that a mandate of every business in the country? Aren't they forced to count how many blacks there are and make sure that they have a proper, you know, quota? And so, yeah, we I mean, it's all right to count blacks, not whites. You emailed her, Scoop. You know, she had talked so poorly about me in that particular incarnation that you led sort of a pitchfork brigade, to borrow one of Buchanan's terms, emailing her saying, don't just talk about James, talk to James. I had him on the show. It all fell on deaf ears. But do you remember that exchange?
No, I don't, but I'm sure I told her just how I felt. But here's another, for instance. She says that she compares how Richard Spencer lives like in Montana with nothing but white people. Well, I want to know what part of Harlem, what part of the South Bronx, what part of Jamaica, Queens that she lives in. Oh, wait, no, she doesn't. She lives in Manhattan Island with a doorman in her building to keep black people out of the building.
Well, let me tell you, Scoop, this is Keith. I had a former brother-in-law that lived in New York, and I remember him telling me, in fact, he lived in Manhattan in the stylish East 60s, and he told me, Keith, he said, between Gay Greenwich Village and the Effete East Side, they're about to stamp out heterosexuality altogether up here on Manhattan.
Which is why she lives there.
And that's why Rachel lives there. I tell you why Rachel, in final analysis, this is the bottom line. The reason she is so fixated on James Edwards is that James has a higher media ranking than she does. We have a larger audience than she has. She may be paid oodles and noodles of money, but she can't attract as many listeners as the political cesspool does every week on a shoestring.
Well, MSNBC might outrank us, truth be known, in terms of number of listeners, but I will tell you, in terms of boots on the ground activism and getting the job done, I think we're having more of an influence. And I'll tell you this, try as she may, try as she might, she'll never be half the man I am.
I don't know. She might be twice the man that...
And even more than that, look, I'm going to ask James. He pointed something out to me today. We were looking at the Bellevue Baptist Church website, and... tell them how we rank compared to them.
I actually had it on a sheet of paper here. But I went to Alexa, which is, you know, they assess the web traffic and so on and so forth. And so Bellevue Baptist Church was the biggest Southern Baptist church in the world. They have a television show here in town. They have a radio show here in town. They have millions and millions of dollars in budgets. They have a website, and they pour all this money into outreach. They have billboards. They do direct mailing to all the city. And on every bit of this, the television, the radio, billboards, print mail, it's all got their website on it. And according to Alexa, there is something in along the lines of, you know, in the 2 millions in terms of the most popular websites in the world. And I think we're something like 400,000. I don't know what that means.
It means we're 5 times more.
But it means we're 5 times more popular than an entity that also has not just a radio show here in Memphis, but a television show and media presence and unlimited resources. And so, you know, that's just one example. But, yeah, I mean, you know, look, MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, she certainly got an audience. She is at the very bottom of the cable news ratings. She pulls up the rear, and there's a reason for that. But that is not to discount what we're doing here with this budget is miraculous. The amount of news and headlines that we command is unprecedented. We cannot be ignored. Our audience is big. You know, like I said, I don't want to get into a peeing contest and say we're bigger or smaller than Maddow because I don't know exactly how many listeners she has versus what we have because we have the internet and the affiliates and this, that, and the other. But But she is at the bottom of the lot of the cable ratings, and we know that our influence continues to grow, continues to expand. You're talking about a show that operates on a budget of about $5,000 a quarter, folks, or less. It's about $10,000 a year. So, folks, this is incredible. What we're doing is incredible, and every time we're talked about by people like Rachel Maddow, the fact that we're demanding, you know, their attention – you have made that possible. Your contributions, your prayers, your support, your listenership. Scoop, a final word to you.
Oh, yes. Rachel Maddow has no radio on because Air America got canceled, whereas Political Festival is still on the air. And she's beaten every night by Sean Hannity and a tabloid journalist from the UK.
Scoop, thanks for your support, buddy. Thanks for your contribution to this show as a correspondent. We will talk to you next week back during your first hour regular time slot. For the rest of y'all, God bless you. God keep you. Remember to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. For Keith, I'm James. We'll see you next week. Okay, I'm going to take a breath, and I will talk to you this week.